Blog Talk Radio.
I can't explain to you the amount of people who have the black card and will be enjoying a black card way of life in 2015. Go to www.bethermagazine.com, click on the black card, get your card today. For all that have supported the black card, I'd like to give you a gift today just for you. What you do is you can go ahead and make sure that your gift is coming directly to you. Give us a call at 202-445-1131, and I will give you a copy of our book absolutely free. Caller, you on the air. Go ahead. Air code 301-412, you on the air. Go ahead.
Well,
today
good morning.
We're talking
how
about... Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, today we're talking about being a bounce back person, being a bounce back person. We want to let you know that whatever you're going through, you can keep going right through it and bounce back. Don't let anything in life have you to the point where you feel as though you can't bounce back. That's what we're talking about this morning, being a bounce back person. Don't let what happened to you in life control you. It's really not you. The Bible says you'll get twofold of anything that you lost. Job is a great example of that. He lost everything, but he did not deny God, and he got it back twofold. I want to tell you about a person that I knew who lost his job after 13 years. He came to work, didn't even see it coming. They told him that there was going to be a reduction in force. He worked for a bank. At that particular time, you couldn't fire somebody at a bank and leave them there because they could do so much damage to the bank. So when they fired you unannounced. They didn't give you 2 weeks' notice. They just came in and fired you. And he got fired without notice. However, he didn't throw a pity party. He didn't go around blaming everybody or blaming the boss. So he realized that he was a bounce-back person. He realized that he could go forward and make life better. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to the caller online about being a person. We'll be right back. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. It's networking on the radio. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. Relationships is something that everybody deals with, but nobody knows really how to make it work. But can you go through a relationship? Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. When we talk about relationships, that's something that is present in all of our lives. We're constantly communicating, and it's really, we really don't have an option. But one thing that we really have to do is realize that when we're in a relationship, many times we have to forget about self. That's one thing that I have learned, is that when you're in a relationship, especially male, female, and you say that you love each other, then the way to make the relationship work is to focus on the other person. And when you think about it, life has a way of balancing itself out. If I say I love you, you love me, and all of your interests are in my heart and you have all my interests, then things are going to move along. But oftentimes we're human beings and it just doesn't play out that way.
That's an excellent point. If you love each other, then the interest of love should be on each other. It should be on the person that you love. Some situations,
right,
and not all situations, however, people accuse one party of being selfish. They say that the person is loving themselves more than they're loving them, or they're self-centered, or they're what they call just focusing on themselves. They just care about themselves and nobody else, and that person feels neglected. When it comes to breakup or relationship, so they call it a breakup, and I never liked that word breakup, because what is it that you have to break if it's a whole relationship? It never should have been broken in the first place. But people use that term, me and my mate, we broke up. What could you break if it's whole? You can't break anything that's whole. It must have been broken from the get-go, or it must have been fragile from the get-go to break. Your relationship should be built on solid ground. It should be built on respect, mutual respect, and love for each other. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, yes, but you use an important term, you know, built. But think about it. There's a tendency oftentimes in relationships that the relationship isn't built. It just you make the commitment and then you begin to, you know, move along and, you know, attempt to, instead of taking the time to really build something before you, you know, make that commitment. I think that's one of the issues that we deal with frequently also.
So relationships should be taken slow. Is it should go through the aspects of different stages and then getting to an actual aspect of relationships? Is that the proper way to do it, or is that the way to do it?
Well, that's, you know, again, that's my belief. That's my belief. But again, even as I've been giving this thought, every person is an individual, and that's one of the beauties of human beings. But at the same time, it makes things so complex. Everything is different. You can't pinpoint anything, but by reason of logic, and when you look at the problems that we have, the disappointments, and you look back, then it appears that if we took it slow up front, then when you got to a certain point, you know, you would have discovered many things, and then you can make a decision. Is this something that I want to enter into? Is this something I want to continue with? Is this something that I want to commit to? Because that's when it really becomes a concern. You have issues. As long as you're trying to build this relationship, or you're trying to convince each other, okay, it's a process. But once you say yes, you know, I'm committed to this relationship, then that's when things begin to become what we call a problem, or you begin to have your concerns. So if, you know, people went into relationships understanding that this is a process and it takes time, then I believe we would have a different outcome. Because think about it, when people make a commitment to get married, that's one of the things that is put before them. They're reminded, and some pastors will not even marry you if you haven't been to 6 months of marriage counseling. Just as we're saying, hey, you have to take it slow, and it's, quote, supposed to be forever, you know, as long as you both live, which is a long time. So, yes, I believe that that is one of the obstacles to people having lasting, meaningful relationships, is that people move too quickly up front And then, you know, once you make that commitment, you know, then what?
That is an excellent, excellent point. When it comes to marriage, you should do premarital counseling with your pastor, with a therapist, somebody to show you the ropes or let you read the tea leaves. To run off and just get married, allegedly to elope just sounds like what it is, elope. You're jumping off something or jumping into something that you have no idea what it's about. We have another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead. 1111. Go ahead. You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the five levels of relationships. This is being a bounce-back person. Being a bounce-back person. We'll be right back. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. Networking on the radio. We'll be right back. You change and it shows it's fading away. Love is fading away. The phones are jumping off the hook right now. We want to make sure that people have this information. We're going to talk about the five levels of relationships. If you're listening right now, all the callers that's on the line, get a pencil and a paper because this information will change your life. If you don't understand the five levels of relationships, then how can you have a relationship? Most people are going through relationship issues or relationship conflicts because they don't know what level they're on in their relationship. And they assume they're on one level when they're basically on another level. Let's talk about the five levels of relationships. And this, to me, is one of the most important things that you can learn in life at an early stage, but it's also important to learn it at a latter stage. The five levels of relationships. Number one, the first level of relationship is called superficial involvement. That means that it's superficial. It's not even real, but it's involvement. And give you an example of a superficial involvement. You could go on a bus trip to Atlantic City, sit next to somebody, and start talking about Atlantic City, about slots, about gambling, about blackjack, whatever your interest is as far as the gambling is concerned, and build up some kind of rapport and get off the bus with that person and go have lunch with that person, and pretty soon you're gambling with that person. It could even escalate if you got a room in Atlantic City to having sex with that person. But you're really on level one. It's called superficial involvement. They don't know you and you don't know them. And if you ask that person something about them that would personally be involved, they would tell you, are you crazy? If you said to that person, even after having sex with them, guess what? My light bill is $2,000 behind. Could you help me with you? They would look at you like you're crazy. They would say, I don't know what that has to do with me. I don't know anything about your light bill, and I'm not concerned about your light bill because I don't even know nothing about your light bill. So it's superficial involvement. They don't know anything about your kids, your family, anything. It's level one. Level two is called companionship. Companionship. And on level two, what's important is the activity. The activity. So it could be gambling. It could be hand dancing. It could be roller skating. No matter what it is, it's the activity. You want somebody to participate in this activity with you. So it's called companionship. And as long as they're participating in the activity and being your companion, you're in a relationship. And you can go all the way up to the hilt of saying, I like this person, or we're involved, or this is somebody who we're together with. But believe me, you're only on level two, because what's important to the person is not you, it's the activity. And give you an example. if it was hand dancing and every Tuesday night you went hand dancing at the solar eclipse, what would happen if you broke your leg coming down the steps of your home and he called you and said, I'm picking you up to go hand dancing, and you said to him, I just sprained my ankle, it's in a cast. He would look at you and say, I'm still going to the eclipse, because what was important is not you, the hand dancing, but you can't hand dance anymore. So once he goes to the eclipse and everybody sees him without you, they're going to ask, where is your partner? Where is the person that you're supposed to be involved with? Oh, they're home with their leg broken. But guess what? He's going to continue to hand dance that whole night while you're in your home with your leg up on a chair. Level two is called companionship. What's important? The activity and not the person. Level three is called friendship. On level three, that person is your friend. And what's important is you and not the activity. So they're going to really involve themselves around you as a friend. Do things together. If you can't do things together, they're going to spend time with you together. Everything is going to revolve around you and that individual because you're that person's friend. What we're talking about is the levels of relationships. The level of relationship. The level four is called romantic love. And that's when you basically are in love with somebody who is your friend, and they're at the top of the food chain as far as levels, because now you truly love this person. They know you. He or she knows who you are, know what you do, like the activities of you, and respect you, know your family, everything. I'll give you another example where people jump to level three just like that, friendship. They think they're in level three. Girl meets a guy, they start dating or seeing each other. Her best friend is getting married, and she tells her friend, oh, I got this new friend. She says, why don't you bring your new friend to the wedding? And she brings the guy to the wedding. He gets to the wedding and starts acting a monkey fool. He sees all the different bridesmaids and the women, and he starts dancing to everybody. They said, what's wrong with this guy? I thought he was... But he was never her friend. She elevated him to level three by telling her friend who's getting married, I'm bringing my new friend. Well, he was not really her friend. He was somebody who was on level one, maybe level two, but he sure wasn't on level three. But she elevated him to level three, and he got in there and started talking to other women. He wasn't doing anything wrong because in his mind, he was not definitely her friend. Level five is called commitment. When you really do marry somebody, well, you say if the death do you part, it's not going to change. We're going to be forever and ever and ever. The five levels of relationship, that's a short synopsis of it. I can give you more at one of our seminars, our workshops. But this is what you call the five levels of relationship. What's your take on that?
I agree. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, taking the time. It takes time to get to that commitment level. And until that commitment is made, then you really don't have anything to hold on to. Like you said, you can imagine, you can wish, you can hope, and even in your mind you can believe, but until there's an understanding and you both made that commitment, like you said, it's still basically on the surface.
I agree.
I think time is that missing factor, you know, knowing how to take time and be patient, be observant. And even sometimes, like you said, even in a relationship, even when you're taking that time, we have a tendency to, you might recognize something that really doesn't agree with you, but like you said, for whatever reason, you're willing to go on and on, but it isn't until you make that commitment, and then it becomes a problem.
The name of the game is relationships last, some don't. Some relationships are meant to be, and some relationships aren't. Recognizing when it's time to get out or when it's time to let go. On the other side of the coin, when the person does not realize he or she's going to be let go, that's when you have to stand up on your own two feet and realize that you're a bounce-back person, that no matter what's going to happen, you can bounce back. Don't go into the situation where you feel lonely, you feel slighted, you feel abused, or you feel negative aspect of it. Don't walk around talking about, oh, this person was so bad, they did this to me. They didn't do anything to you that wasn't allowed to happen to you unless you put yourself in a circle to let it happen. So now that the person is divorcing themselves from you, and you're no longer in that circle for them to even do anything to you, what they did in that relationship is over. It's dead as Julius Caesar. What you have to realize at this point is, how can I bounce back? I'm a bounce back person. I'm not a person that's going to be sitting around moping about it, crying about it, being upset about it. I'm not going to be to the point where I want to hurt the individual or hurt myself. I want to bounce back and be greater than I was before. And that's what I teach people or try to show people. In today's society, the name of the game is to be a bounce back person. Bounce back. The greatest success or vengeance of happiness is to be better than you were. When someone sees you that left you, you should look better, be better, enjoy life better. But even if you're down, and I know an individual who was down. He lost everything. He lost his home, his car, his lady, his children. He had nothing, and he was living on the street for a year. And nobody knew it because he was enduring it because he had nothing. But in his mind, he believed that he was a child of God, that he knew that the Lord loved him, and he would bounce back. Are you familiar with Charlie Wilson's story? Charlie Wilson is one of the – they call him Uncle Charlie. He has a big record out. He's a big success now. He recently told his story. He has a new book out. He was a member of the Gap Band, years ago, very successful man. He got himself involved in drugs to the point where the band dissipated, fell apart, and he went straight to rock bottom on drugs. Got to the point where he was doing drugs almost every day, and he became completely homeless with a shopping cart. For 2.5 years, he had a shopping cart walking around, getting eaten out of garbage pans, the whole nine yards. He met this cousin of his that saw him on the street and said, "Charlie, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Nothing's wrong with me. I'm okay." He said, "No, look at you." He says, "What's wrong with me?" And he got a mirror and showed him himself in the mirror, and he didn't recognize himself. He said to this cousin, he said, "I'm going to take you to this rehab place and get you some help." He took him to the rehab place, but in the rehab place, he was still doing drugs and trying to get stuff together. A lady who was one of the rehab counselors came over to him and said, "You got to stop this. Get yourself together, and I will be here to help you make sure that you get yourself together." And she started helping him, working with him. He got off of drugs. He was about to graduate out the rehab center. And she asked him, "Where are you going to go when you leave here?" And he says, "I don't have anywhere to go." This lady went out and bought him a house, bought him all kind of furniture, said to him, "I want you to come in this house. I've got this house for you and this furniture. This is where you're going to live." He goes in the house. He said, "Why are you doing this?" He says, "I can't do this by myself." She said, "Why are you looking at me? I'm just helping you out." He said, "No, please, I cannot live no longer like this by myself. I need help. Will you marry me?" Asked this woman to marry him, and they've been married. They've been married 20 years, and now he's a success. True story. True story. It's in his book. Make a long story short, be a bounce-back person. Give us some closing statements before we go off the air.
Well, I have to agree with you. Be a bounce-back person because, like in life, I mean, in order to make it, bounce back. Keep your eye, as we've all heard, keep your eye on the prize. Always look forward and keep that hope. And then in doing that, you can always inspire others. That's another thing that keeps you going. As we stated earlier, if we don't focus on ourselves, when we focus on making others' lives better, then it comes back to us. Even with the story you just shared with us with Charlie Wilson, I mean, this lady, her focus was on helping someone else. And in doing so, being so caught up in helping someone else, she was blessed through it also. So I think that's the bottom line for life, period. We have to always be concerned about others, and in being concerned about others, we will be taken care of.
That's what I believe in. You know, I'm a giver. I'm a giver, and they call me the information giver. I can tell you what you got instead of call it what it's not. I can tell you basically how to improve yourself, improve your business, improve your life. And basically, that's what we want to do. We want to share information and make sure people have a better life, better world. That's what the Black Card is about. That's what Be There Magazine is about. These situations now, people are experiencing some dire situations. Another story I can tell you before we close, an individual was married, loved his wife, did not see it coming at all. He was not what they call a cutter pitcher husband. He did not have all the makings to be a good husband, but what he had, he gave. What he had was not good enough, and his wife at the time did not like him or respect him or wanted to be married to him, and she left him. But he became a bounce-back individual. He kept going. He didn't cry about it. He didn't get upset about it. He didn't tell people about it. He also became homeless. Right after his wife decided to leave him, he became homeless. He walked up and down the streets of D.C. He walked up and down the streets of New York. He went back and forth to Atlantic City 8 times on a bus to stay out the cold. But nobody knew that because he did not broadcast that, and he carried himself as still whole. Don't let nobody see the weakness in you if you're trying to bounce back. Only share your loss or your situation with people who are concerned and care. But don't walk around and be some kind of person who basically is crying or whining about their loss. If someone leaves you, they left you for themselves, but don't you ever, ever leave yourself. Be a bounce-back person and bounce back and make sure your life is better. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. Give us a call, 202-445-1131. Next Black Card event is going to be at Charlie's on April 30th from 6 to 9. Be there. We'll see you there.